Welcome, episode 3 of Off Air with the Q Crew.
We're out here.
Okay, third week. You know, we talk all things local, Vegas. We talk sports. We talk entertainment news. And there's a lot of things happening this week in the entertainment world, right?
Yes.
Okay,
a lot.
First up, All-Star Weekend last weekend. The thing everybody was really talking about is J. Cole greeting Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. Yeah. Did you guys see the video?
Yeah.
We saw the video. Did you guys see the video? If we can explain it for the people who haven't seen the video.
Yes.
Basically, J. Cole greets his homie, Dwayne Wade.
Yep.
Like the straight up brother, look, you know, what's up? What's
with
like,
the nice hug, like the, high, my the lean in.
Lean in, dap on the back.
Yeah.
And then D. Wade's with his wife,
Gabrielle Union.
Yeah. J. Cole greets her in same similar fashion with the...
It was a lot less, like, affectionate. He didn't lean in or hug her.
He didn't lean in, but it was like just the dap. What's up, my ninja?
But that's like how you greet a man to man.
And that's what we're trying to say. So what we're trying to say is that greeting went viral. And a lot of people were saying that is officially the way the homie is supposed to greet his lady. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah. So is it, though?
Because he's treating her just like he's treating her?
He's treating her just like he's treating him. He's treating the homie.
Yeah. I'm cool with that.
I'm not.
Really?
I'm not. You know why? If I see Tanya, I haven't seen Tanya in a minute, and I see you. What's up, CO? Good to see you. I'm going to give you that homie dad. What up? What's up, my ninja? You my dude. What up? And I see Tanya. I'm not going to be like, what's up, Tanya?
But she'd be down for that, though.
She might be down for it, but I don't feel like it's the respect you give the lady.
Yeah.
My opinion is no. I feel like there's got to be some respect on your late. If that's the homie and I see Tanya, I'm giving Tanya a hug.
Okay, there's two parts to this.
Okay.
So I think part of it has to do with respect.
Correct.
The other part has to do with comfort.
Correct.
Because you can go up to Tanya and be like, yo, what's up, homie, and do the dap and do all that stuff. And she'd be like, hey, what's up, Bojo? And she'd go along with it.
Right.
You can also go and give her a hug, and she'd be like, hey, what's up, Bojo, just as well. So in my opinion, I think they're both okay. I don't think it's bad, if that's the question.
But if they're friends if both of them are friends with him, there's nothing wrong with him giving her a hug. Like, as a woman, I don't like getting dap from a man, like, if I'm a dude. Like, as a woman, you know, I'd rather you, like, shake my hand or give me a fake hug or something, or a kiss on the cheek rather than, like, a, you know what I mean?
But is that because of the difference? You don't feel respected, or and again, that's why I just talked about Tanya. In Tanya's sense, you know, Tanya's like a super chill, what up, like one of the homies girl.
Yeah,
you
know, I am too, but I don't think it's disrespectful, but I think it's unnecessary. Like, bro, I'm not going to try to, like, get up on you, and we're grown. I know you're not going to try to push up on me when I'm with my man, so why you got to dap me up? Like,
okay, so you hit it on the nail with the respect and the comfort, right? But I think when this went viral, there was a bunch of dudes out there we're thinking, yes, they like that because they don't want anyone getting too close to their woman. And I feel like
that's insecure.
100%. And I feel like that's some weird insecurities.
But that's insecurity from the people homies, watching it.
Because they're like, they're the type. I feel like there's dudes out there like who are like, yo, my lady don't need to be, you know, getting too close to no other man, blah, blah, blah. If I know for me and my homies, like my good friends, when they greet my wife, there's hugs involved.
Sometimes
there might be a kiss on the head or something like that, and that's like 100% respect. And I know my wife is like, you're treating me like a lady, and I'm not one of the homies. I'm not one of your dogs. You're not like, what up, dog? That's weird.
Correct. But I think, again, in the circle, like especially your close circles, you know, we go to your homie Smitty's house, and Smitty's the type to be like, what's up, Tanya? You want a beer? Boom, boom, and high five her. But he will also... You know, give
boom,
her a hug just as well, but you know, like boom, boom, because I can't show.
Stop
it.
Saying that. Like, no boom, boom, in the boom, boom.
When the homie Spitty sees your wife, he's like boom, boom.
He's definitely not.
Now you messed it up.
But exactly the point is that there's a huge comfort level. There's no insecurities, And it's more of the people who are talking about it versus the people who did it.
So why would J. Cole greet her that way? Was it to show respect to Dwayne Wade? Or was it so that people can't, like, misconstrue the hug? Because remember the Roc Nation Grammy brunch?
Yeah.
When Lori Harvey hugged Jay-Z, it became a thing online. Right. And people, the Beehive started going in on all her comments and posting bees. Because they're like, oh, she's trying to push up on Jay-Z. Yeah. But all he did was give her a friendly hug.
Yeah.
So maybe J. Cole is trying to avoid that type of, because people take one picture or 1 second and they run with it.
On that celebrity stage, maybe that does make sense.
You know what I'm saying? Because they take, literally, Lori Harvey gave Jay-Z a hug for like 2 seconds, and all of a sudden the Beehive wanted to kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. But I understand what you're saying. It could go both ways. If you're okay with it, if you're comfortable with it, I just think, I know my wife might not want to be treated like one of the homies.
Yeah, that's like, kind of how I am.
You know, like, what I mean? She might not want to
be like, why are you giving me dap?
You know, I've done it a couple of times. Like, I've come home and I said, what's up, dog, to her?
Yeah.
She's like, hell no.
Yeah, nah.
No, but I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that would also be fine or okay.
You're right. When you say if she's comfortable with
correct.
It. If she is comfortable with
it. But, like, if we all went out and rolled up to an event and we're all with our spouses, if we bump into each other, if y'all give me a hug, it's okay. But if y'all give me dap, I'd be like, why y'all giving me dap? Like, Sean ain't funny. Like,
that's not the relationship that we have either, you know?
That's true. We don't know the relationship that J. Cole and Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union have. We had a question. Did Gabrielle get offended? I don't know if she got offended or not.
She kind of went along with it.
Because Gabrielle is the homie. Like, she's super down and chill. Like that. So, you know, I think she was probably fine.
And maybe that's
it.
Not the first time that they greet each other that way. Maybe that's the way they do it.
Maybe that's a thing.
But the reason why it came up is because the internet tried to make it seem like that was the way it should be done.
Right, like,
And I had a hard time taking that. Like, no, you guys, that's some young stuff to me.
It's insecure.
That's like young.
Because back in the day, there was like a proper way to greet a lady. There was a proper way to greet men to men. And,
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No.
Let's keep moving.
Right. Okay. Jussie Smollett. I am so sad about this story. Last we talked, we were like, oh, my God, poor Jussie. He's a victim of this hate crime. OMG. Now he is a damn perpetrator of a fraud. Like, everything is a fraud, and he's still standing by the fact that he's a victim. Like, they say he went to the Empire set yesterday after he bonded out because, you know, his bond was $100,000. He paid $10,000. He got out. It looked like a mob scene when he was leaving the courthouse. But supposedly he went onto the set, and he apologized to everybody and was like, look, I'm a victim, and he's standing by that. And I'm just like,
Look, nowadays there is a paper trail or electronic trail of everything.
Right. And that's the thing. The cops have went through his phone records and his financial records, and I guess they've confirmed there was like a $3,500 payment.
Yep.
There was a lot of text messages. One of the text messages, I just read this morning.
One of the African brothers?
Yeah. He was like, what up, homie? I need you to help me out with something on the low. And that's how this whole thing kind of started. And you're just like, bro, have you ever heard of a burner phone?
it's crazy, like, because the motive that we're finding out about how he was unhappy with his salary, I'm not buying that.
I'm not buying that either.
I'm not buying that.
You're a superstar on Empire. Come
everybody on. Has their theory. Right. My theory is, we got to find out. Did they find out if the hate mail he was receiving at work?
The police have said that it's related to him, but the FBI, who's also investigating, has not confirmed if he was involved in the letter. So the letter's still like 50-50. But I did hear on TMZ that they found the magazines that were cut up at the brother's house.
Damn.
So they found like the cut up. Because you know how, like, they went so old school with it. Like, that's like a serial killer letter from like the 70s. Like, who does that?
Okay.
So a lot of magazines.
That's my thing. I feel like this dude, he obviously has way more issues than we ever thought. I had his back.
Yeah.
But obviously, he needs some attention. He strongly wants to be the gay Tupac.
Yeah.
Like, and this was his way for him to be like, okay, you know what? They're not taking me seriously. This is my way to be the man of the culture. I want to represent African-American homosexuals in the culture. And then, so I'm going to make up this story. People will have my back. I will become some type of leader for the LGBTQ, for African-Americans. That's why he went on and kept on saying the whole gay Tupac thing, unnecessary.
If I can just say really quick, I want to compare this. May not be, I don't know. You guys can help me out with this, but Frank Ocean went through a lot of stuff when he came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's also a gay black man.
Yeah.
You know, so many people, especially in that industry, music industry, were coming at him like,
oh,
you were singing songs. Now we get it. Like, all these love songs or whatever the case is, right?
Yeah.
But he like rose up from it. Like, he led, you know, he did things the right way. He let time kind of settle things out. And then he started to be featured again in music, and he's back out in music. So, you know, he was patient about it, and I still see Frank Ocean as a great musician, as a great singer.
Yeah.
And this dude was like, nope, I want to be someone else. I want to be seen in a bigger stage, so let me do something wrong. So he did everything the absolute wrong possible way.
I think he was really trying to be the leader for that community, and I felt like he felt like this fake story.
But that's what I'm saying.
If he thinks it's like, I don't think he thought he was going to get caught.
Right.
This is a way for him to be a leader. Because remember when he talked to Robin Roberts, his main thing was trying to make
this like, how I knew was it was so fake. Tough, in that interview,
and he fought back.
Yeah, when she was like, oh, so what'd you do? And he was like, I punched his ass right back. I was like, oh, he's lying. Because if you really went through some traumatic incident, you would not be on the morning news talking about, I punched his ass. You'd be like, I got hit.
Talking about.
I hit them. Like, you'd be a little bit more traumatized. And
yeah.
I think if he wanted to be the gay Tupac, he should have started a rap beef with like 50 Cent, because that would have been much more effective than doing what he's doing.
What are they talking about? Why did the Nigerian who goes to Nigeria to come
the
back?
The brothers
get
went back to Nigeria the day after the attack, and then they flew back. So somebody said they fled to Nigeria, which Jussie supposedly bought that ticket.
Right.
And Jussie was already out of the closet when he was on Empire. Yes. So that's not. I think he always owned being like a gay black man.
He wanted to be a leader.
But here's the thing.
He wants to own it and be the one ahead of everything. But that's what I'm saying in comparison to like when Frank Ocean was getting all that stuff and he won. I'm not saying that Frank Ocean came out and he became the biggest leader.
But he was in the closet. That's why it was a big deal.
He was. But again, he didn't come out and said, hey, I'm going to come out and be the biggest, you know, leader in all of this. He let time pass by. He let things settle. He was positive about it in his own way, and then came right back and he's singing again.
Well, is there any other homosexuals like are big in the industry, like male African Americans?
Tyler Perry, Lee Daniels.
Wait, is Tyler Perry Madonna?
I think he is.
Wait,
what do you mean? Is that gay? I thought he was.
Is Tyler Perry, is that Madea?
Yeah,
he is gay.
I don't think that's like
what I heard.
Let me Google this. Hold on. I'm pretty sure he's out. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I thought.
Is Tyler Perry gay?
Can somebody confirm?
Hold on.
I think Google's about to confirm. Does Google know?
No, you didn't, Natalia.
What?
He's not?
He's not gay. Okay, I take that back.
I heard he was, too.
No, that's messed up, y'all.
I confused him with Lee Daniels.
Lee Daniels is, for sure.
Okay.
All right, let's keep moving.
Okay, Lee Daniels.
Okay, Lee Daniels. I mean, there's a bunch of homosexuals in entertainment industry.
You gotta stop saying homosexuals. Just say gay people.
So nervous.
That's funny. Wait.
No, okay, I'm talking about
y'all
hip-hop.
Y'all got me googling gay black people over
hip-hop.
Here. Hold on. What the hell?
In hip-hop.
Frank Ocean. What's his name?
Tyler,
the Creator. Right? He called Will Smith. He called Jaden his boyfriend.
No, Jaden called Tyler.
Or Jaden called Tyler his boyfriend.
I don't think that was real.
Okay, that might have been a joke.
Can you stop dropping bombshells on me right now?
Maybe we should just change the subject. Let's keep going. Okay. So basically, Jussie is a fraud, and we're all disappointed.
And we'll just see what happens. And when will he come clean? That's right. Because he's obviously still saying it's not true.
I think that he's going to stand by this lie for a minute, because coming clean would really kill his career. Admit it. I mean,
his career's dead. Yeah.
But, you know.
All right, let's keep
going. Okay, let's keep going. Jordan Woods. Kylie Jenner, Khloe Kardashian. What do you guys think? Because I got some thoughts on this, because I've been watching things for the last 3 days.
Okay.
And I'm like,
Can you start by breaking the whole situation down, and then we'll jump in? We all know, but just in case. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tristan Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Khloe
Kardashian's baby daddy was at a party, I believe.
He hosted a party.
Oh, it was his party?
At his house.
Dummy.
Yeah.
And was snugged up. Feeling on Jordan Woods, who is Khloe's sister's best friend.
Kylie Jenner's childhood best friend.
BFF.
Yeah, they live together. They go on vacations together. They were just celebrating Stormy's birthday. She babysits Stormy. Yes.
That at this party, Tristan, like they were so tight. And then Tristan's like, telling everybody, put your phones away.
Yeah. Security took all the phones.
Okay, but there's still human beings there with eyeballs and ears.
Yeah.
You still saw it. And obviously are going to get this out.
And one of them was a writer for a blog.
It wasn't
Jason from Hollywood Unlocked, but he said one of his bloggers was there, and that's how they confirmed the story.
So it gets out.
Mm-hmm.
Gets to Khloe.
Yep.
This is not the first time maybe not even the second or third, maybe more than that.
Right.
Tristan has cheated
right.
on Chloe. So now you're asking our thoughts. I think the story is big because there's so many damn levels to it.
Right.
And in my opinion, I feel like my wife, she watches the Kardashians, and I think one of her favorites is Chloe. Mm-hmm. And what I've gotten is I think Chloe can't catch a break. I don't follow up on it that much. I feel like she had a tough time getting pregnant in the beginning. She's had a tough time with her boyfriends.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Lamar.
Lamar, Jesus.
Yeah.
So obviously she can't catch a break. Tristan's doing this. And there's a story of the BFF of the sister cheating with the baby daddy.
Right.
And there's a story of Tristan has a problem, obviously.
He doesn't have a problem. He's rich. And that's what rich ballers do. End of story. It's a lifestyle. Their people are in it. Oh, don't make that face.
No,
their people
look at
are
Russell
in
Wilson.
On it. No. Russell Wilson is a rare breed. He's like one in a million. I'm
going
to tell you, I know girls
that's
married to basketball players.
Okay.
This is what they do.
Okay, but the issue is once you get caught and you have family and children involved, a lot of times it gets through to these dudes. Like, is it really worth it? Like,
wait, but once you get
caught. He's not 22.
And it's not like he got caught. He got caught with a family who's front face to the media
all
the time.
Well, see, that's his bad. He's dumb.
No. Understood. But you'd think he'd be like, oh, no, I'm going to take everything. I'm going to do everything possible if I'm going to get caught to not get caught. But in essence, I'll just wrap around. My answer to this is really simple. To me, this is all crying wolf. I don't believe nothing that happens with any of the Kardashians. I think it's all generated by Ray J and Mama Jenner. And I'll leave it at that. It's all for TV and TMZ, and that's it.
That's an aspect I never thought was coming.
I definitely think it's a lifestyle with athletes and having multiple women, and their people are in on it because a lot of times their agents, their security guards are the ones with the phones that the side pieces call. They call security. They call the manager. They call the agent. They don't go directly to the baller. The ballers have, like, hidden phones in their trunks. I mean, we've heard these stories over and over and over again, and I've heard them in, like, real life for real.
But
so I know it's a thing.
Okay, but here's the deal, Natalia.
I'm not saying it's okay. It's just part of their lifestyle.
But here's the deal. What we're saying is at least, like, some of these ballers try to be, like, sneaky. Dude, you're 6'9". You stick out. You're going to get caught.
Yeah.
He's doing this out in a party. That's why it's like you have no shame.
Well,
that's why I'm saying he has an issue. Of course these guys are ballers. They've been getting booty their whole life. They've been getting the best of the best girls in their hometown since they were in high school. Since they went to college, now they're pros. Every city they go to, they have females. I'm saying at this point, this dude has Khloe Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty dope, successful, big deal. They have a child together. He's already got caught cheating.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he leave his first baby mama?
Yes.
And that's his MO. That's what he's doing for.
What I'm saying is he's got an issue because he's not hiding it.
Okay.
Right.
He's what if
cheating so easy?
Here's what I think. Okay. Ready for my conspiracy theory? What if this was all a setup by the Kardashians to make him look bad? Because check it. Khloe and Tristan might have been already broken up for a minute, right? We don't know. She ain't been with him. It ain't look like they've been the family unit. He flew in to spend Valentine's Day with them, but that doesn't mean that they're together. What if they wanted to, like, dog him out, right? They set him up. They cut Jordan a check to be in on it, right? And they're like, Jordan, we're going to give you this money. We're going to set him up. This is what we're going to do. Because now they're all publicly commenting. Kim was riding around with Malika, whatever her name is, yesterday, and they're listening to Nivea's Don't Mess With My Man and singing the lyrics.
Yeah.
Then they're all commenting on different bloggers, Instagram pages, like, big facts. These hoes ain't loyal. Da-da-da-da-da. The Kardashians don't comment on controversy. They go on Ellen and clean it up. So for all of them to be strategically commenting on all of these accounts, right? Coincidentally, Jordan's collaboration with Kylie is 50% off now on the website, right? You know, I just think that either Jordan's a really bad friend or she got cut a check to be in on this to expose Tristan and make him look bad. Because, you know, once you cross the Kardashians, that's it. They're going to get you one way or the other. You're going down.
What if
it's all a setup? What if we're all playing into their setup? And because Kim, you know, she's like the smart one that be conniving and making the plan. So she's like, okay, what if we do this? Okay, you unfollow me. I'll unfollow you.
I think it's above Kim. I think this is mom's.
That's what I said. I think it's all Mama Jenner.
Yeah.
You know, you know what? For you to, you're not far-fetched, obviously.
It could be a big publicity stunt to make Tristan look bad.
All of it has been.
Yeah.
Or not even, it's just a way to get out of Tristan because they know he's not
he's not a good guy. Yeah, he dogged Chloe out, so now they want to make him look stupid.
Damn, but. So are you thinking that Jordan took one for the team?
Yes, they cut her a check. They're like, okay, girl, here's $1 million. You got a
million?
Go.
You know they're giving her more than that.
A million's a lot of money.
Not to them. For her to do that. For Jordan to be cut out of her best friend's life?
Right.
Damn.
Kylie, who's the richest game?
That's why I get mad, because I'm like, Jordan, you had one job. All you had to do was take care of Stormy and be Kylie's friend. Yeah, and then you out here being, you know... Whatever.
That's why no one from the Kardashians are talking. Damon, that's not true.
They're all commenting.
That's not true. They're all
subtweeting, subposting.
And, okay, so people are always gonna say like, "Why are you guys talking about this? Who cares?" I'm like, dude, they're a big part of the culture. Somehow, some way, that family is connected to the culture.
Yep.
Kim connected with Kanye.
Yep.
Kylie connected with her beauty line and Travis Scott.
Yeah.
Kendall's dating one of the best up-and-coming ballers in the league right now, Ben Simmons.
Right.
So, one way or another, they're...
Is she, though? Or is that just like a publicity
relationship? Back and forth between him and Blake Griffin.
Right. I think they're a Blake? PR... She used to go out with Blake. She used to go out with Blake. Yeah, she used to go out with Blake.
Kendall? Or
Kendall. No, can't keep up. We can't keep up with these Kendall Kardashians.
Who's she dating? Arsenio, I can see something like that. Okay, let's keep going.
Since we're taking a left turn, let's talk about Cardi and Offset, okay? Last night, Offset's album cover dropped, right? Mm-hmm. It's called Father of Four. Mm-hmm. He's got all four kids on the cover, and it's him, like, in this beautiful, regal chair. He looks like a king.
Yeah, look like
with his kids are like princes and princesses. Here's my problem with the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You kept baby culture from us all this time because you wanted to protect her privacy, because you didn't want the trolls to get at her. But you didn't care about that, so you put her on an album cover?
Then again, this could have been the whole plight in the first place. It could have been like, okay, we're going to keep her under wraps until you drop this album.
But, like, you're using baby as a publicity stunt?
Yeah, well,
that's what they do.
They're clout chasing with culture?
We just talked about the Kardashians.
Is it the same as DJ Khaled and Assad?
No, because he's had Assad since Assad was out the womb. He's been at every award show.
He's been talking about him throughout the whole pregnancy and was excited about it.
Yeah.
The whole
Cardi's
album
always
about him.
Put like the emojis on the baby's face and hidden the baby's face. And then when her and Offset were fighting, remember when she got mad at him? She dropped the picture of Culture because he was supposed to put Culture on his album cover and she beat him to the punch. That's why she dropped that baby pic a few months ago. And now is when his album comes out.
So are you like mad at him or both of them?
I just think it's tacky. I think if you're going to keep your baby from the world and say that it's because of, you know, trolls and online bullies and stuff like that, but you don't care about putting your baby out there to trolls and bullies for an album cover, you're being a hypocrite. And Cardi is always like speaking her mind and keeps it 100. So like, I don't get it. I'm waiting to see what she has to say about why she let it happen. Because I feel like Offset has four kids. Cardi has one. Has she really kept
five of them? In this picture?
No, there's four of them.
No, four total.
There's four of them.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, that's Cardi's only child, and she hasn't been able to share her child with the world because of Offset's album? When Cardi's the type of person that puts everything on Front Street? I don't know.
Well, and that just comes to show you, they're a regular couple. Who knows what the discussions were behind the scenes?
If you think that Cardi didn't have anything to do with this,
no, she was in on it, but I'm saying, like, it's weird to me that she would be in on keeping her baby a secret for her man's album. Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because why not go on People Magazine and get a check?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
To promote the album. Like, you know what I mean? Are you going to buy the album more because the baby's on the cover? No.
Yeah, that's
nobody buys CDs. We all buy downloads. So nobody's going to like the music store to buy the cover of the CD to have a picture of Culture.
What's the difference now between you covering and hiding your baby for the last 8 months? Right.
Doing it for clout. Because for clout. It's clout chasing.
An album.
Yeah. And the album is called Father of Four, by the way. Yeah. Which I think is like, I don't know.
Father of Assad, Father of Four.
Yeah. People's album covers are getting, I don't know.
I mean, the album name is whatever. If you dropped an album right now, I would love to hear it. But what would you name your album?
That's a good question.
I don't know what I would do.
If I dropped an album, I would. Oh, I got it. I got it. Ready? Go. For Soccer Moms with Swag.
Oh. It's a Soccer Mom title.
That's why I ain't dropping an album, Bojo. So, yes, I ain't dropping no damn album.
Make fun of his album title. Hey, guys, I just dropped a new album for Soccer Moms with Swag. I'm so upset
Maybe
with you
trying
right
to get
now.
A Target check.
Yes.
Hello. That
is definitely, yeah.
That's safe money right there.
That reminds me of like Kids Bop.
Kids Bop for Moms. I'll make Moms Bop. There you
know.
Go. CO1, what would you call your album?
I think mine would be From the Hood to All Good.
Oh, that's cute. That's nice. That's
a little bit I mean, it's got a little cheese factor, but, you know.
Bojo?
It sells, or hopefully.
Maybe From Ashy to Classy.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. You want to do Father of Amaya?
Father of Amaya, right? Just raising up Amaya on every lyric. That's all I talk about.
Yeah. You just put her on the album. Put her on the whole album and she'll take care of it. She'll handle it. Okay, so speaking of albums, I know you got some hip-hop history, right, CO1?
Yeah, I wanted to mention this week, back in 1995, let's see, let me put myself into it. I was a freshman in college. Mm-hmm. So DJ Quick released his third album, Safe and Sound. And it's one of my favorite DJ Quick. So it was DJ Quick's third studio album. It was Safe and Sound. The reason why I like this album, I mean, there's a couple songs in there that kind of grew with me as I was, you know, back then I was young and fresh, or at least I thought I was. But it had a song on there called Dollars and Cents, and that was one of those well-known diss tracks when he was talking smack about MC8. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely do.
So diss tracks have always been like a big part of just hip-hop culture in general. So, that album in general was pretty good.
What's your guys' favorite diss track if we're on topic?
I'm gonna be a little bit cliche, but mine's Hit 'Em Up.
Mine's Who Shotcha, East Coast. I'm from the East Coast.
West Coast, no Vaseline.
That's true.
Oh yeah,
no Vaseline is very aggressive.
Yeah,
pretty good ones.
Those are all really good ones. Good.
No Vaseline might be probably the best.
Cause you know,
no
I grew up in South Florida, and even though it's the South, I guess we were always more East Coast. So during the whole Biggie Tupac thing, I think more people down there were Biggie versus 100%. Tupac. And then when it became like a super divided fight, like I don't know about out here, but out there, if you like Biggie and somebody put on Tupac, you was arguing in the car to take it off. And you were like, nah, we got to listen to this one. You know what I mean? Like,
story that I'll be real quick. Yeah. I spent the summer of 1997. I spent about a month in Toronto. That's where I'm originally from. Mm-hmm. And I spent time with my family out there. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was 100% Tupac all before that.
Yeah.
I spent that summer out there and I became huge Biggie fan because that's what it was. It was all Biggie out there on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And so that's when I got to find, and I've been split my whole life between
the
both.
Yeah, it was in here.
And Biggie used to spend a lot of time in Miami. Like, remember the Hypnotized video with Biggie and Diddy? Mm-hmm. Like, they were always down there, so I think the city had a lot of love for them. We didn't really get a lot of West Coast artists that came through to South Florida the way that the East Coast artists did. Like, we had a lot of that 90s hip-hop, like the Wu-Tang and the Biggie and
so you were
Jay-Z
way more
and all
Biggie
that stuff.
Than Pac. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I like Tupac, too.
But
we listened to
Biggie,
it. But, like, our loyalty was to Biggie.
You know, you being from Florida, I think that still holds a lot of ground for the culture of hip-hop because, like, I mean, Diddy's always out there, French Montana, you know, all the Fat Joe, like, all these people are still
and we was out there before cell phones and stories and the gram. We was doing it for real life.
Sorry, what else?
Okay, let's talk about the Oscars. It's happening this weekend on Sunday. They said that all of the musical artists were going to perform the songs that were nominated because they're not going to have a host, so they're trying to, like, make up the time with that. But now, yesterday, they announced that Kendrick and SZA are not doing all the stars, and that was one of the things I was most looking forward to.
I don't know if I'm going to watch at all. It's going to be all about Lady Gaga and what's his name.
I don't know if it's going to be about them because in the film community, they're not saying, like, I'm looking right now at a website and they have all of their picks, and Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper are not in, and neither
is
Star Is Born.
I'm talking about the public, aren't they? Because Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, they're going to perform.
Yes, for A Star Is Born, they're going to do Shallow. Right. Yeah, but they're both nominated for Best Actor.
Yeah, but we're talking about the musical performances.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess that's what we got to watch the Oscars for that.
I've never been I've always been more on like on the music awards type guy versus film and TV.
Mm-hmm.
So to watch the Oscars, it'd have to be, you're right. It would, for me, it would have to be a Kendrick, a SZA to be there for me to pay attention.
Oh, This is terrible, these performances. Okay, so original song nominees, All the Stars from Black Panther, mm-hmm. I'll Fight, RBG, that's, I think, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie. I don't even know who sings that. The Place Where Lost Things Go from Mary Poppins with Emily Blunt. The Lin-Manuel Miranda. Shallow from A Star Is Born. And When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings.
Holy crap.
From the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Okay,
good,
I guess.
Old, good old, what was it?
Brokeback Mountain.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
I'm talking about.
You were talking about cowboys. So
was it Whoop That Trick?
That was on TV the other day.
It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Hard Out Here for a Pimp. What are they called again?
3-6 Mafia. Yes, they won the Oscar. And I remember watching that year being like, do these? Okay, well, you know what? Yes. But I'm not mad at them.
Hustle and Flow, though.
That was a great movie.
Hustle and Flow, Hard Out Here for a Pimp. Yeah.
What's the name of that tall, skinny dude that was the DJ on there?
Terrence Howard? No.
Skinny white guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's funny. I forgot his name. Remember the skinny white guy?
Yeah, he was like really nerdy. Yeah.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
Okay, yeah, they're going to be super boring. There's no host. Best Picture nominees, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star Is Born, and Vice. Have you guys seen any of those movies?
Black Panther,
Black Klansman. I thought Black Klansman was all right.
You know that Spike Lee's first Oscar nomination,
really?
Nomination
wow.
for a movie? Yeah.
Really?
But yeah, he's never been nominated.
It wasn't
before.
White Man Can't Jump?
No, he's never been nominated before. It was Black Klansman, yeah.
Spike Lee didn't do White Man Can't Jump.
Oh, it wasn't.
No. Did he?
I don't know.
We got fact checked.
I feel like Trump right now. Let's keep it going.
Because Spike Lee don't do comedies, I feel like.
My fingers are not fast enough for all these Google checks that we got to do.
No, I mean, yeah.
The Oscars are going to be boring.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I just saw
Star Is Born this week.
Damn,
and
still gotta watch it.
I loved it.
Really?
All caps.
Okay.
Oh my God. I'm mad that I didn't see it in the theater. And I heard the hype. And I like Lady Gaga and I like Bradley Cooper, but it was just kind of like, eh.
Why are you mad you didn't see it in theaters? Because you didn't pay?
Because it's like a concert movie. Because there's so much good music in the movie that there's a lot of like live performances that would have sounded like if you were in one of those theaters with like the good sound, the DVX,
whatever they call it,
like in one of those theaters, it would have been really, really good because of the music. Because sometimes you watch a movie at home and you're like, oh, this would have been great like in the theater because of the quality
of the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's still good. Just put your surround sound on.
That's another quick question. Uh-huh. There's a few movies out there like, you had to go see in the theater.
Yeah.
You know what sticks out of my mind mm-hmm. right off the bat? Damn it, I have the worst memory. Remember, it was the one with... it must have been a Steven Spielberg movie when that man goes into the capsule and he's living in an alternative universe and it was like almost 3D.
Transformers?
Who makes it? Who did it?
It was, they were almost like in an alien life form type of thing, and he falls in love with the lady.
Avatar.
Avatar! I'm so sorry, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Was that close?
Because it's James Cameron. Steven Spielberg, it's James Cameron.
I'm so embarrassed.
All you have to do is say the blue people.
Avatar. He went in that little capsule and. Went to an alternative universe.
I did see that in the theaters. That was a great movie.
You had to see in the theater compared to at home.
Speaking of movies, why don't we pick our top five movies?
Of all time.
Favorites?
Favorite five movies of all time.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Because I usually watch these most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Purple Rain.
Yes. Good one.
That's probably my number one.
Mm-hmm.
Big.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Tom Hanks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds, part one.
Okay.
Well, you know, kind of, it was
relatable
part
for
of,
you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It was your childhood.
The Notebook.
That's on my list too.
And by the way, this one is I try to watch this one once or twice throughout the month at least once or twice. Grandma's Boy.
Which one is that?
It's a comedic movie. It's like the same cast that's usually
like Adam Sandler type.
Yeah, exactly. And
okay.
Like, if you know, for those who like to be at the crib, you know, you like to do a little smoky, and a little drinky drink.
Okay.
It's all comedic. It's all about weed for the most part.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good list.
Of those, like, stoner comedies.
It's exactly that.
Okay.
Anything shocking on there?
No.
Pretty good list.
Pretty good list, solid.
Grandma's Boy's a little, but I guess
well,
if you're
again,
smoky,
it's a favorite for me. Yeah,
smoky, yeah. Smoky, smoky. Okay, I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not in any order,
okay.
But I love me some Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I felt like Jerry Maguire hit everything. Mm-hmm. Comedy, the romance,
yep.
sports.
Yeah.
Love Jerry Maguire. Number two, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That story and the ending, that's dope. Yeah. Yep. I love that connection. Morgan Freeman and Steve Robbins or whatever his name
yeah.
is. Yeah. And then I got two. They're pretty much the same to me. Coming to America, Beverly mm-hmm. Hills Cop 2.
Ah. Nice.
Beverly Hills Cop 2. Love them both. Big fan of Eddie Murphy growing up. And then a movie that got pushed on the list after I pushed off Braveheart. I used to love Braveheart.
Mm.
Loved Braveheart. But Braveheart got pushed off and pushed in was mm-hmm. the movie Crash.
That was a great movie.
You went classic.
I know you went like all like movie scholar, like super sophisticated, smart movies. Because
Coming to America, Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes, those are classics, though. Those are classics. Yeah,
McDonald's.
But you guys understand how those make sense to me?
Yes, of course. Okay. Of
it's like mine makes sense to me because they every movie that I talked about, it's like music. It took me to that period. I know exactly when I was sitting down at that couch watching.
Your life.
Right. Yeah.
Big part of your life.
So I just said The Notebook, which was on his list, was on my list. I'm going to take it off my list. I'm going to add something else, okay? So I'm going to give you my top five. Great Gatsby with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes. I'm a jerk. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
You told me to see it.
I'm so mad at you right now. Bro, the soundtrack alone is worth watching the movie. It's like Jay-Z. It's hip-hop, but it's like a movie from the 40s. And
my wife's 40th birthday was Great Gatsby.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this movie, it's so good. So yeah, Great Gatsby, definitely one of my movies. And it had really good special effects too. Second on the list, Coco. For the culture, for Latinos. I've never seen a movie represent the Latino culture in such a beautiful way. And every time I watch it, I cry because I think of my abuela and I think of my relatives. And that was like the first movie that I saw for Latinos. And we weren't like a maid. We weren't like the help. We were seen for the beautiful culture that we are. And I'm Puerto Rican. I'm not even Mexican. But like, I feel like Coco embodied all the Latino culture, whether you were Colombian, Venezuelan, Puerto Rican, Mexican. Like, it was for all of us, you know?
And I'm assuming you saw it with your daughter. So did she get it when you saw it with
her? Yeah. My whole family, we went when Disney movies come out, we roll like 12 deep to the theater because we always go during the holidays.
Boy, they be doing
but
good,
you know
man.
What's funny? When Coco happened, everybody's in the theater, it's totally packed, and they play that Frozen movie for like 20 minutes. All the Latinos were like, ay, qué cosa, qué está pasando? Like, all the Latinos were so mad. Like, let's get to it. Like, we're here for Coco.
Yep,
we're not here for Anna and Elsa.
Yeah, that's okay, good job.
Right. Another one of my favorites, Black Panther. For the same reasons. I think that Black Panther, what it did for the culture was so significant. I never seen a movie like that. I never seen that perspective. I thought it was beautiful. I'm a Disney nerd, so Aladdin was a huge movie for me when I was a kid and when I was growing up. Out of all the princesses, I related to, like, Princess Jasmine. That was my princess because she was the only, like, brown one, you know? All the other ones were, like, blonde, and I was like, yes, that's my girl. Okay, and then instead of The Notebook, I'm going to put Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom because I used to really think I was going to be an archaeologist when I grew up. That's what I wanted to do was, like, travel the world and dig for stuff, and, yeah, I really, really liked that movie.
Hey, that's a good list.
Yeah.
So really quick, because you were talking about Disney movies, do you remember which one was the film that had the perverted caricature that did the cover?
The Little Mermaid. My sister has that VHS cover. We have an entire Disney movie VHS collection.
I don't want to really, but I've heard because that I guess whoever drew it was...
The legend is that a Disney animator got mad at them or something and was quitting on his way out. And when he was on his way out, he drew the cover of The Little Mermaid. And one of the castles is like penises. Oh, it's not like... the shape of the castles is like a penis. And it's not like...
You know,
that's the legend.
I don't know. This is really random. Maybe once you brought up Little Mermaid, movie scared the hell out of me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the movie Splash?
Yes.
Dana.
Hannah. The mermaid, right?
Hannah. Daryl Hannah.
There you go.
Daryl.
The blonde lady.
Daryl
Hannah, yeah.
First name Daryl?
I think so.
Dana. Mm-hmm. Daryl.
Let's see. Hold on. I remember that movie.
You guys remember Splash?
Yes.
That's
scary. Is that the movie where she's like, or makes that weird?
Yeah. Well, she was, she was a mermaid. And I cried in the theater. I had to get out of there. I was like, Mom and Dad, why would you make me watch this? It was too real at the time. That scared the hell out of me. Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah, yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we talked about movies. Let's talk about our guilty pleasures on TV, on Netflix. Are there any shows that you guys are binging that you love or are embarrassed to love?
Damn. Well, I'll start off because I've got to be completely honest about it. I stay up almost every single day till like 2 or 3 in the morning because I like to go from Friends to Martin to the Jamie Foxx show.
Okay.
Every single night. All classics. Every single night.
Whoa. What channel are you watching? What is it, BET?
23 and BET.
Yeah.
No, 23.
Like, I know BET plays the reruns. Yeah.
But
you know what's right in there with that? Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
They switch off Fresh Prince with like Friends sometimes and stuff like that. Gotcha. So, but my guilty pleasures are Two Broke Girls.
Nice. That's a good show.
I just think
it's
they're
funny.
Fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a bunch of little sitcoms like that.
Yeah.
Like, what's the one? Two and a Half Nerds? Or something
Two and a Half Men. Two and a Half Men.
Actually, that's not
or
that
like
funny.
The Big Bang Theory. I never seen that in my life.
Two and a Half Nerds.
No, I have no idea what they're talking about.
I said Two and a Half Nerds. Yeah, Big Bang Theory, I don't watch.
No.
My wife likes the other one. They're the kind of like Friends. That's like How I Met Your Mother.
That's funny. That's funny, too. Yeah, it's hilarious.
I've never watched that. But I know you and your wife have a guilty pleasure.
We have to. We watch. My DVR list is really weird for a black man. definitely watch the Bachelor and the Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I watch all.
So, are you into Who's Getting a Rose? And
not really. I'm into the drama. I'm okay with drama.
Yeah,
I'm weird. Like weird like that. I like the drama. I like the fights. I wish they would let him get more physical.
It probably makes you look like such an amazing husband. Like 100%. Watching that with your wife, she's probably like, "Oh, you are so amazing."
Kind of. I mean, it's like, whatever. Yeah, The Bachelor, I'll watch. You know what else is a very guilty pleasure? Like, should have grown out of this a long time ago.
Okay.
The MTV challenges.
Really? Like the Real World Challenge and all that stuff?
Not Real World. I'm talking about the challenges.
Yeah, like when
Johnny Bananas.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, I'll tell you guys.
TJ Lavin and all that. Like, look at the host.
Fine. You're, you know, Bo just twisting my arm. But Johnny Bananas, long story short, I grew up with Johnny Bananas.
Okay.
Twisting your arm.
I thought you was about to say he secretly watches Teen Mom or something.
Oh, that would be funny. it's so funny. But yeah,
I do get in my episodes of Cops every once in a while. But
ooh, you still watch Cops?
Yeah, they still have new episodes, believe it or not. Or at least I think they're new. But no, so Johnny Bananas, I grew up with him. We were in the same party crew. That's how I kind of became a DJ.
Oh, wow.
So, okay.
Did he DJ?
No, but he was part of the party crew. And like we would go out and do stuff. And
you know who Johnny Bananas is?
No idea.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's like a teenage heartthrob guy from MTV.
This.
But yeah.
Hope this is going to be a new webcam morning show. Three of you. I see it having a good day.
Aw. Thanks, Cher Bear. Have a good day at work. One of my guilty pleasures, love and hip hop, every city.
Every city.
Miami, LA, Atlanta.
Damn.
Get New York. Yeah. Give it to me. Also, I watch like Black Ink Crew, Chicago or New York.
I
do. I am. All of the shows I watch are probably from VH1. Yeah, that's funny. Terrible. Oh, yeah. But Love and Hip Hop for sure. One of my guilty pleasure. And it's terrible because every time they fight, I'm like, why do I watch this? And my husband's like, why do you watch people argue? Yep. And I'm like, because it makes me feel better about my life.
But it's sad because they're like bringing down our people.
No, I know.
Like,
it's a bad look for the culture for sure because like, they make us all look bad. It makes it look like women can't get along.
The women are the worst.
Yeah.
The dudes aren't acting like the women.
Well,
the dudes are just dirtbags.
Well, supposedly, you know, okay.
I thought that's staged though.
Some of it, yeah. But here's some tea. Supposedly on the Love & Hip Hop Miami reunion, Bobby Lights confesses his love for Prince and says he's in love with them. Right.
Damn, I'm lost.
Because you watch that show too.
Oops.
Hey!
Prince.
Okay, so another show actually that just launched on Showtime, Desus and Mero. It's not a guilty pleasure, but it's a great show for the culture. They talk about pop culture.
Okay.
Kind of like how we do. They have roundtables. They have celebrity guests.
Oh, okay.
So they were on Viceland, and they used to do it 5 nights a week or whatever, but I guess there was no budget and they weren't really getting paid a lot of money. And you could tell the show was like super bootleg. Like it wasn't like polished. I mean, they were just, but it was still good because the rawness of it is what made it good. Right. So basically they had a contract falling out with Vice. Showtime picked it up, gave them a budget. So now it's back and they have like a real set and they have real skits. And like, you could see how the money is in the show. And like, they're so funny about their brand. They're like, the brand is moving, the brand, you know, and it's just, they had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez as their first guest last night. AOC. Yeah. So you guys should definitely check it out. I love it. I'm a fan. All right, in sports, Bojo, let's talk real quick about what happened with that whole sneaker incident.
Oh, Zion. Well, so it was it 2 nights ago? Yeah, we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Duke versus
North Carolina.
UNC, one of the biggest rivalries in college sports.
Yeah.
Deep, number one pick, it's like pretty much unanimous, Zion Williamson. He got injured first 33 seconds of the game. This dude is freaking remarkable. Mm-hmm. He's just super fun to watch. Already talking, he's going to be playing in New York. But blew out his shoe, which is like almost, they're adding it as another legend to what this guy does. Because that doesn't happen. But now it's turned into a whole other thing. He was wearing some Nike PGs, 2.5s or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now Nike's in trouble. Like, yo, why is this athlete blowing out of your shoe?
Right, because they're the self-laced sneakers or something like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're like the sneakers. Are you sure? They're sneakers that lace themselves. I know they're Paul George
joints, but at first it was like the legend to this dude, Zion Williamson. He's so powerful, he's busting out of his shoe. And now they're like, no, Nike, what's going on?
What's up with you?
Why is this dude, why are you making shoes that athletes are busting out of?
So are people asking if Nike's somewhat liable for this?
Yeah, they made a statement. Injured,
yeah, I mean, he's not playing.
Damn.
If you were an athlete and you saw this kid injure his knee on his first game, would you want to wear those? Not first game, but within the first few seconds of the game, would you want to wear those shoes if
you're
playing?
Not that one specifically.
You're not wearing those shoes.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Because he's got injured and he's out and he was like supposed to be like the number one.
Yes, so he's
yeah.
Now the whole controversy is if he's already, you know, already talking about he's going to be the number one pick.
Yeah.
But like when he's healthy, should he come back or just sit out the rest of the season?
Right.
You know, you already know.
That's a tough call.
You're going to be the number one pick. Millions of dollars on the line. Millions. So it's going to be up to the kid. And I think that he's a team guy.
Yeah.
He wants to be back with his teammates, Coach K, and win a championship, a college championship.
But do you think he would still get drafted even if he's injured? And if so, do you think this is the opportunity for a company
he's
like—
Well, he's going to get drafted. It's about if he's going to go number one.
Right. Yeah, so do you think— This is the opportunity for a company like Reebok or Adidas to scoop him up.
Sure,
but they can't get scooped up in college.
We're talking about once he gets drafted.
Oh, got
sure.
It, yeah.
I mean, all the sneaker lines are going to hit this kid up.
Right,
like he's the biggest thing.
Nike's going to have to cut him an extra fat check though. And here's the thing: if this injury affects his career moving forward, and the injury was due to his sneaker blowing out, who's at fault?
That's a tough one.
Should they cut him a check?
Liable?
I don't know.
No, because I've never heard of that before.
Well, it's never happened before.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it has.
But then Nike, well.
I'm sure someone's busted a shoe.
But not injured themselves at the same time, maybe. In other sports news, Robert Kraft, this morning they're saying that there is an arrest warrant for him down in South Florida. Yes, he was involved in a human trafficking prostitution ring.
Damn.
Now, his people are denying it and saying it's not true, but supposedly he's going to be charged with two counts of soliciting another to commit prostitution. He was visiting Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida, which is very close to my hometown of West Palm Beach. And let me tell you what I know about Jupiter. You know the PGA golf tournaments and all that stuff? So all that happens in Palm Beach Gardens, which is the city right next to Jupiter in South Florida, right? And when those events come into town, all those professional golfers go to all the strip clubs out there. So, like, I know some girls that know some athletes, and it's not shocking at all because that's what they do. They go to these places. They hang out with the girls.
Escorts.
No, the girls I know are dancers. They're not escorts, but, like, these professional athletes that are, like, super, like, you would never think. I'm not talking about basketball players. I'm talking about, like, PGA golfers,
we're talking about the owner of the Super Bowl.
But that's what I'm saying. At that level of that, like, you know, people that you don't think are going to be up in a strip club, and they hang out.
Let me ask you this. Are the girls you're talking about, are they on a ratchet level?
No. They're dancers. They're just strippers. They're just dancers. No, it's not that. No, they're like at the.
You made it seem they're strippers. Why would they be ratchet?
They at the classy club where you get like a steak dinner and lobster dinner and stuff like that. No. Sorry, no. It's not King of Diamonds in Miami. Okay. No, it's not that kind of strip club.
Gotcha.
It's a more, I guess, you know, the fancier ones where you can get the good dinner.
It's got the A squad all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, there's no bullet holes and stretch marks on the stage.
If this story is true. Are they saying that Robert Kraft is the money man behind this all?
They're saying he asked somebody to get him some hookers.
Oh. What? Multiple?
Well, it's two separate occasions. A month ago in South Florida.
Okay, so it's basically
shout out to the 561.
I thought the story is he was running this ring.
No, he's arrested and involved in a human trafficking ring. Let me read you what TMZ put.
Damn.
New England Patriots owner.
It's a ring.
Ring. Did I say ring?
I was calling it a ring.
New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft is a wanted man. Cops say they've issued a warrant out for his arrest as part of a recent prostitution human trafficking sting operation in Jupiter, Florida.
Okay, so he was just picking I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either because, like we said, this is what athletes do. Robert Kraft, freaking billionaire owner of the Patriots. He still got hoes.
I mean, he was walking around with the gold. He was walking around with the gold chain.
That's right. Meek Mill gave him a chain that he was totally rocking that thing. And I guess maybe he's trying to live the lifestyle like the rappers too, right? With all these arrests and women and things. So yeah, he's been charged with 2 counts of soliciting another to commit prostitution. So basically, that means one of his people probably hit up somebody to get somebody to meet somebody to do somebody.
Or one of the girls came out, was trying to get extra money.
Yeah.
Went to the media.
Yep.
This story will develop, and we'll continue to talk about it on the next episode.
These girls were cheap. $59 an hour.
Damn.
I know. Robert Kraft couldn't,
This might be that ratchet I was talking about.
You're right.
$60
$60
Vegas, think about the ones out here.
I know.
They're talking about $1,500.
Okay.
Yeah.
On that note, thanks for listening to our third episode of Off Air with the Q Crew. We got some shout outs, guys.
Yeah, go ahead. So I just want to kick off by saying shout out to Ken and Chester and their joint Ja Burritos, one of my favorite spots. Mm-hmm. Just trying to keep it consistent with every week. I want to give you a new food spot.
Yeah.
And Ja Burritos, man. Sushi burritos, sushi bowls. Like, just Google them. Ja Burritos.
Yes, yes. Vegas is finest right there. Homies Ken and Chester. Big shout out to the Las Vegas Lights FC. They had another great wasn't a win. They tied 2-2 the other day. Mm-hmm. They're going to be having their first regular season matchup on March 9th, I will be out there hosting the festivities. Hope you guys can join us. Other than that, big shout out to who else?
Well, shout out to the Aces and Asia Wilson. She was here with you this week.
Yeah.
And that,
shout out to Asia Wilson.
That video's up on the website.
Oh, my goodness. She is dominating the WNBA, taking the league on by storm. She's doing so much, representing Vegas. She is an ambassador for the WNBA. She was the unanimous rookie of the year. She was third in the MVP voting, y'all.
Wow.
And she's representing the Aces. Real cool people. She'll be on the show later as well.
Speaking of the Las Vegas Lights, I got to shout out the Doggy District, which is this new place I was at on Saturday. We did the grand opening for them. And when I was there, I was wearing my Las Vegas Lights hat. Mm-hmm. Everybody kept stopping me and asking me if I was going to the game that night. And I was like, and I was like, no, I'm not going, but Bojo's hosting my boy Bojo. And they're like, yeah, we see him every game. I had a lady stop me and talk to me about their new coach. She told me how she used to go to L.A. all the time to watch him. And then now they're so excited that he's here. Now they don't have to go to L.A.
Nice.
And, like, I literally had 5 people stop me talking to me about the Lights, which is insane because it's a new team. I mean, obviously we should have that love, right? But it's a new team, only been around, this is the second season. And this hometown love is strong.
Yes, that's dope.
Yeah.
You never told me this.
Yeah,
that's
I was waiting to tell you on the show.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, next episode, we'll be talking about what you talked about with Asia.
Yep, we'll talk about Asia, and we'll get into more about Vegas Golden Knights, UNLV basketball coming on strong.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they can keep the momentum going into the playoffs.
And CO1, you'll give us more food spots.
We'll give you food spots, more music info, let you know what's the latest on many, many entertainment pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'll keep you posted with all what's trending in Hollywood right now. Thanks for listening.
Hey, we out.